Welcome to The Kelly Roach Show, the place for no fluff, easy to implement, 20-minute or less business and leadership lessons to help you build a sustainable business that scales, lead with integrity, and create a lasting legacy. I'm Kelly Roach, former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur. Let's get started. You guys, I have one of the most special guests ever on the show today, someone who is near and dear to my heart, one of our Legacy Leader Masterminds clients, and someone who is actually reinventing a very old industry that needs a lot of change by challenging the status quo in a huge way. So welcome to the show, John Briggs. I'm so happy that you're here.
Yeah, Kelly, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you have just built this unbelievable beast of a companies. You've acquired companies. You're integrating multiple different businesses under the umbrella of your business right now. First of all, let's just tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do. And for those that are not watching the video, let's tell them what your shirt says as well.
Well, so I'm John Briggs. I'm founder of Insight Tax. And I'm wearing a t-shirt. It says the IRS doesn't equal theirs. You look at the letters, the IRS, you put them together, it spells theirs. It's either this t-shirt or the one that says the IRS sucks or dear IRS, you suck. That's how we feel about it. We actually think the world's better if our clients keep money in their pockets instead of giving it to the government, who tends to not make good decisions because it's not their money. So they actually don't feel very accountable for it. The same thing businesses have sometimes when you have assigned budgets of dollar spend for something and maybe your team member blows the money because you gave them the money to blow. That's what the government does. Anyways, we have a CPA firm. We do taxes, accounting, cash flow management stuff, about 200 plus team members at this point and still rapidly growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you guys are amazing. And just having a visionary at the helm that is really approaching the whole space from a different perspective is so important, especially for entrepreneurs. So for everybody listening, we are going to put John's information down below and how you can connect with his team. If you, by the end of this episode, realize that you probably need to fire your accountant, your bookkeeper, and so on, which you probably will, and upgrade, we're going to put all of John's team's information down below. But what I want to dig into today, John, is, you know, not only have you built a wildly successful company, 200 employees, multiple eight-figure, growing, not stopping anytime soon, but you have this really invested mission of kind of being the change that you want to see in your industry. And you wrote a book about it, and you've designed this methodology that's really about empowering people to work in a more productive, more profitable way that is going to eliminate burnout. So why don't we talk a little bit about first how this came up for you and like why you saw the need to initiate this change? Let's talk about kind of some of the models and things you've been testing in your own company. And then, of course, we'll explore the book a little bit.
Yeah. So my industry is broken. And what happens is they take these really optimistic people out of college, they stick them in a job, and then they squeeze the soul out of their life. Accounting industry is very standard at minimum 55 billable hours, which is 65 of real life work. And that's if you want to keep your job. If you want promoted, which most of us do, you're working 70, 80, 90 hours a week, and you have that requirement. If I want to push myself, I can, but a requirement about 8 months out of the year. And so what we see in the accounting industry is that within 3 to 5 years, 60% of accountants leave the industry because they're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
And we also now see, because of social media and like sharing knowledge, it's not a secret anymore that these companies are working people so hard. And so enrollment in programs is down. And this might be biased, but if you think about supply and demand, I think at the end of the day, this is going to hurt our economy really bad because small business owners don't create their business to go into accounting or taxes. Mm-hmm. And so as an accountant with our skill set, our services is needed.
Yeah.
But if the pool of available accountants continues to shrink, the only solution that smaller pool has to keep their sanity is to raise their prices.
You're right.
And at some point, we're going to raise our prices to the point where small business owners can't afford us. Then they're going to have to go to a different solution, which isn't going to be as valuable. Mm-hmm. And so I started this idea with the book called The 3.3 Rule. it was really just a manifesto to the accounting industry, like, hey, multi-billion dollar companies, you have multi-billion dollars of net income. After you pay all your expenses, you greedy people are still, you have so much left over.
Yeah.
Should we do a little bit better? Now, I'm a huge fan of capitalism, so I don't want to, I'm not coming at this thing from like, let's do socialism and, you know, Marxism. So I'm not, that's not me. But I do think if we are employing team members and we have money left over, maybe instead of requiring all those team members to basically work two jobs, maybe we just hire more people.
Yeah.
Or we put those funds into some sort of solution where we're not killing the passion of all these people at what cost. And so what happens though is I wrote this manifesto, but then I started sharing it with everyone. And it turns out lawyers, engineers, burning out and overworking is not a problem exclusive to the accounting industry.
Yeah.
Come to find out, as entrepreneurs, it's actually a really big problem because most people don't know. They just see this is the way it's been done. Therefore, I'm just going to do that because I think that's the way it's supposed to be done. And I wanted to show the world there's actually a better way to do it. I'm going to back it up with science.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Okay, so let's, and I couldn't agree more. And obviously, it's everywhere and it's not sustainable and it's not working, right? It's just not working. So we need people like you and we need this book to get out there. And that's why you're here on the show today. So let's talk a little bit about the method that you introduced in the book that is based on science and kind of how you've seen that be able to start moving the needle and making an impact.
Okay, so the long story up to the rule itself, I got to start with, like, how do we get here? Here's a fun anecdote story. So there's a little girl. They're at their house. It's a family gathering. They're making pot roast. And the mom cuts off the ends of the pot roast, sticks it in the oven. And the daughter says, "Mom, why did you cut off the ends of the pot roast?" She thinks about it for a second. "I don't know. That's how my mom taught me." Well, grandma's there. So the little girl asks grandma, "Hey, grandma, why did you teach my mom to cut the ends of the pot roast off?" She's like, "Huh. I don't know. That's how my mom taught me." Just so happens that great granny Gertrude is out on the porch, avoiding the noise. Because if you know, if you have big gatherings, kids are noisy. Yeah. And she goes, "Hey, Granny Gertrude, I'm curious, was it a secret family recipe? Why did you teach all of us in your posterity to cut off the ends of the pot roast?" Granny Gertrude's like, "My pot roast pan was too small."
Of course. Yes. Yes.
How often are we passing down behaviors?
Yeah.
And we don't even know why it originated, right?
Yeah.
And so now think about that story in context with this. Early 1800s, average work week was 80 to 100 hours a week. Early 1900s, this guy comes along and he's like, "I want to sell these motorized carriages and I need more sales. I want more sales." You know who doesn't want motorized carriages? People who are working 80 to 100 hours a week because they're pooped. They have no desire to do anything, nor do they have time. So this guy, known as Henry Ford, comes in and says, "I'm going to start with my people. I'm going to actually say, you know what, instead of just having Sunday off, I'm going to give you Saturday and Sunday off." So now I have an extra day. I might be able to go further. And then to make it even better, he said, "I'm going to cap your workday at 8 hours. Now you're going to go into the weekend with energy. You're going to think about those places you want to go. And now you have a need to buy my car."
Mm-hmm.
So in order to sell more cars, Henry Ford created the 40-hour work week and the two-day weekend. And we still do it today, 100 years later. Luckily, there's a ton of science behind it. We can get into whatever element you want of it. But at the end of the day, all this science comes down to the 3.3 rule, which states the most efficient workday is to work up to 3 hours at a time, followed by a 30% recovery period. Work up to 3 hours, followed by a 30% recovery period. It's designed to be a formula, a guiding principle, not a flat, like, I work 3 hours and I take an hour off. No.
Yeah.
We're all different. It's got to be up to, and then however long you worked, 30% off. And I know it sounds simple. It's anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But it's super powerful.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I feel like I started making a lot of changes around my work week like a couple years ago. When I moved to Florida, I was like, I'm moving to the beach. I'm going to enjoy the beach. I'm going to start living my life. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. And started doing theme days and then started taking Fridays off. But I changed the way that I was working to build in a lot more space and a lot more recovery time. And I think that as I watch so many creators crash and burn in the online space and so many businesses closing, and I'm like, I'm just getting started, I feel like so much of that is because of what you're talking about, because I started opening up more space for recovery time and the quality of my work has increased so much, even though I'm working a lot less hours. So I like 100%, I see it, I've experienced it for myself. And the thing is that like people have to wake up and pay attention because they're burning themselves out. And then what happens is the medical issues arise, the psychiatric issues arise, physical issues arise, and then they're out of the game completely. And I mean, how many people do you know, John, that like something comes up like that and like it's game over, right? Like you don't even have a choice anymore.
When you operate at the end, like full throttle,
yeah.
When something goes wrong, you're going to crash. And when that crash happens, it's done. A lot of people don't recover from it. So instead, it's like, why operate at full throttle? I'm all about full throttle. When you're working, work.
Yeah.
But you have to fall out with a break. And because this is how it is, this path that the world has accepted, you just keep working and hustle culture and all that stuff. People feel guilty for taking breaks.
Yeah,
and we need to change that stigma because the world's going to be more productive, healthier, happier if we all just allow ourselves that space that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so true. So practically speaking, if someone is listening here today and they're like, okay, I need to read the book, I want to get started. They've kind of already been feeling this already anyway, but they need a tool, they need a method, they need something to start with. Obviously, that's what the book is for. But what are some of the practical things that you can share, John, that can help someone that's listening today that just wants to know, like, where would I even start? Because they feel like they can't slow down or they feel like they can't stop or, you know, you've heard all the stories and reasons why we think we can, whatever. So what would be kind of some tips and strategies you would give around that?
Yeah. The first one is self-awareness. Like the challenge with having such a simple rule is that we want the solution to feel more complex. Whether you're religious or not, if you've read the Bible, there's sometimes people get healed by doing something simple. Like one guy was asked, go bathe in this lake for a little bit and you'll be healed. And the guy was like, I'm not going to do that. Nope. Until his servant told him, if he told you to like do something crazy, you would have done it.
Yeah.
So these are simple solutions, guys. And so don't let the simplicity of it demotivate you from giving this a try. But the first thing is self-awareness. So I kind of label, there's three generic approaches. Like I might be a sprinter, which means I know I'm not going to be able to focus for long periods of time. So I might go up to an hour. And then if I work an hour, I'm going to take 20 minutes off to recover and then go back to an hour. In fact, Mike Michalowicz, a good small business author and good friend of mine, when I was talking about this book with him before we published it, he's like, that's interesting. I naturally write in like 50 to 55 minute blocks.
Yeah.
And I follow that by a 15 to 20 minute break. It's crazy. Some people have the natural self-awareness.
Yeah.
Now, so there's a sprinter, the jogger's going to be somewhere in the middle. And then you have like a Zen master who's like, yeah, I'm good. Like for me, this is going weird for people, but if you give me financial statements and say, hey, can you forecast some stuff based on these financial statements? I love that stuff so much. I could totally go 3 hours and it's not a problem. So the first thing is kind of acknowledging who am I as a person? And accepting that, right? Because part of it too is, oh, I got to be hustle culture. I got to keep working. I got to put in more time. No, if your brain, so the Princeton Neurological Institute did a study, our brain has a natural cycle from focus, distractibility, focus, distractibility. Interesting thing about natural cycles is you can't change them. They're natural. And so this idea of hustle culture literally is saying, no, we're not accepting that our brain naturally goes to distractibility. So I'm going to force myself to stay focused when my body is saying you need to be distracted.
Right.
Well, anytime you try to break that natural cycle, you get into unnatural and unhealthy things, right? So let's accept the fact that we can't focus forever. And so take a break. And when I say that too is sometimes there's tasks that we do that I'm going to approach differently. Forecasting, awesome. You want me to take phone calls? I'm going to be more of a sprinter. I'm going to have more frequent breaks to get myself through that.
Yeah.
So the first one, like, let's just acknowledge who we are and accept that and then schedule our day around that. All of this comes down to You've got to give yourself permission to take that break.
100%. It really does come with a belief system, right? Everyone thinks it's like, I can't take a break. I have too much to do. But it's actually a belief system. And then the belief system is followed by, what's the law of the universe called, that anything that you do is going to expand to the amount of time that you give it anyway.
Parkinson's law.
Yeah, yep. The Parkinson's law, right? So it's like, first you have to believe that I am worthy of taking breaks. I can take breaks. I can take breaks and I can meet my performance objectives. I can perform at the level of output that I want to, even with incorporating breaks. And then you have to recognize that however long you give something, it's going to most likely fill that space, right? So I think when you said starting with awareness, it's not just awareness around your work style. It's also awareness around like how you're scheduling things and how you're kind of like filling the space and filling the time, right?
Yeah. So interesting observation, because if you think about this scenario without the 3.3 rule and we're doing the normal, you know, work week that was created to sell more cars.
Yeah.
Someone comes in, I sit down at my desk and I'm looking at, I got 8 hours. I'm going to be here for 8 freaking hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard sometimes for people to stay focused. In fact, there's a study I talk about in the book that shows your average person is actually producing 2 hours and 53 minutes a day. That means there's 5 hours and 7 minutes a day.
Yeah.
They're not producing. Why? Because it's natural. I got this time. Let me get distracted and do something over here. Versus, okay, I'm going to work for an hour. I'm going to nose down, super focused. I get the hour in. I know I'm going to get a break afterwards. And in that break, I'm allowed to do anything other than work.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I have this mental release. I also have a, from being one, being able to focus, two, knowing I will get a break instead of just, I don't know, I'm going to get breaks in. So I'm kind of just going to mosey on through the day. And like this science supports focused time followed by a deliberate break followed by focused time, we just produce so much more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. I think it's so important. And I will say there's a lot of legislation coming down the pike in other countries right now around the 4-day work week. And there actually is potential that that is coming here as well. So I think it's something that we all have to be aware of as business owners and business leaders, that we need to be thinking about how we're moving our organizations forward into the future, because either you're going to disrupt yourself and you're going to do things like implementing this and kind of resetting what the work week looks like, or you're going to be disrupted from the outside. And if you're not prepared, that can be a really tough transition for people, right?
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. I actually reviewed and analyzed quite a few different companies and countries that have implemented the 4-day work week, and they all have their own spin on it. And at the end of the day, some of the times the things worked and sometimes it didn't. But ultimately, the principle, the ones where it worked is because there was the element of we're giving you a break, right? Some 4-day work week, oh, we'll just make them work 10 hours in the days. And look, it's like, I can't get all my exercise in on January 1st and take the rest of the year off.
Yeah.
So if I'm cramming all the work in shorter days, just so I have more days off, I'm still going to run into the same burnout problem.
Yeah.
And when the government changed early in the 1900s from 80 hours to 100 hours to establishing the 40-hour work week as law, they actually, this is what created the overtime hours. So instead of saying, we're going to prohibit you from working more than 40 hours, they just said, well, if you're a company and you're going to do that, you have to pay them more for that time above 40. And I guarantee in the US, if the 4-day work week comes in as legislation, there's just going to be some extra overtime compensation, maybe an extra tax the government charges you. Until people accept that the science is different and we need to accept the science, that's the solution.
Yeah.
Because people are going to still find a way around it until they realize this hustle culture idea and working nonstop is unconscionable. We have to stop it.
Yeah. No, that's so good. I always say that it's a lot harder to get better than it is to just spend time treading water doing more. And for me, sitting in the seat that I sit in the entrepreneurial space, this is what I see all day, every day, is people saying like, I'm drowning, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overworked, you know, I can't take a break, you know, da 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 da. And it's this avoidance of like the hard work of actually getting better, like really, like do better, like be more efficient, be more effective. And I think to your point, though, when you're so burnout and when you're so exhausted, your work product is so poor that it does take hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to accomplish the same thing. Whereas when you're refreshed, you're rejuvenated, you're of clear mind, you can have acute decision making, your work product is so much better that it does take less in order to achieve the outcome. And I think that's a piece that people really miss in the whole thought process, right?
100%. You know, if the average employee or person working actually producing 253 minutes with the 3.3 rule, if you do the math, I'm actually saying, even if you're going to keep 8-hour workday, you're actually going to only ask your team to do 6 hours of productive work. And that's going to be spread out based on how they take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally just doubled the amount of production. And not only you doubled the time they're going to be productive, because you're giving them breaks, I promise the time that you do work, it is more focused because of what you just said.
I've seen that in my own work so much, so much. So, I mean, John, you've created like unbelievable levels of growth in your own company. Do you want to just share a little bit of that? Because I think it's easy for people to sit here and say, yeah, but. And, you know, you have really modeled this for yourself. You've implemented this, you know, with your team. You're continuing to work on refining it in your own company and, you know, with your clients and stuff like that. You know, talk a little bit about the growth that you've seen over the last couple of years, because it's been extraordinary.
Yeah. So if I go back like 4 years, like 2.5 million in revenue, 4.5, then 10, we're on track for 20 this year. And we're doing the 3.3 rule. There's a lot of emotion from an owner, whether it's a one-person team and just them or a bigger team. It's like, hold on a minute. Like, no, I'm not paying my people to just sit around.
Yes.
And I'm actually saying the science supports that if you do, based on the 3.3 rule, your profitability will increase. You're going to get them more focused.
Yeah.
They're going to develop faster. Your company is going to grow faster. Like, all I can say is this. Some people hear the rule and they're, because it's as easy as to implement tomorrow. There's nothing complicated about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know where I'm going to find the time. I'm not asking you to find the time. I'm just saying, work an hour, take 20 minutes off. Work 3 hours, take an hour off.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm just this total crackpot, I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
So prove me wrong, but that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
You have to try out the rule. And when you try out the rule, you're going to realize, oh, I had a better day. I was more productive. Yeah. I'm going into the end of my day, which is likely family time for a lot of us, with a different type of energy now.
Yeah.
Because I'm not coming at it from a standpoint of like being bored or burned out of my mind.
Yeah.
I now pace to myself and I have energy for my family instead of just my work.
I totally agree. And I mean, I think for anyone that feels a little fearful, we're going to do it, by the way. But for anybody that feels a little fearful around doing something like this, especially if your team is remote, they're not working 8 hours a day anyway. They're not, because the human brain needs rest. It needs distraction. So even if they're like technically like online 8 hours a day, or they're like technically clocked in 8 hours a day, like they're not. And there's nothing to fear. There's only opportunity and possibility, right? And I think, you know, a healthy, happy team is a productive one. And I think we've all learned and experienced from both sides of that, right? So, John, let's tell them where they can get the book, number one.
Yeah. So you can buy it on Amazon, The 3.3 Rule by John Briggs, or you can go to 33rulebook.com. Those are the two easiest places to find the book.
And if people listening feel like they're like way overpaying on taxes, or they're not satisfied with their accounting, bookkeeping team, CFO services, whatever the case, what is the best way to connect with your team to learn about your services and to talk to someone in your organization about making the switch?
Yeah, you would go to our tax firm's website. So it's Insight Tax, and it's spelled like to incite a riot.
Of course it is.
Technically means to cause to action, and we believe in being proactive.
Of course it is.
But it's INCITETAX.com, and click the contact us, then one of our team members will reach out.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm so happy to put you in front of everybody in this way. And as a final note, I have to add, John is in our Legacy Leaders Mastermind. He's in my mastermind that's for multiple seven and eight figure, you know, business leaders of all different walks of life, has been for multiple years. It's been such an honor. And I get to work with not just John, but he brings his executive team in and we get to kind of collaborate and work together on some of the high level, big picture strategy. So these are the types of people that you would get to interact with inside Legacy Leaders. So if you're looking for a mastermind for this coming year and you want to interact with big thinkers that are building real businesses, that are truly putting a stake in the ground as thought leaders and innovators in their space, like this is the place to be. Is there anything that you want to add, John, about Legacy Leaders and just kind of what someone that's listening can consider about that?
You know, a lot of these people who market out there that is coming across the visibility of a lot of small business owners, they're what I would call douchepreneurs. They actually don't have a track record of success. And their only good thing is they want to sell a high ticket service to you, teaching you how to sell a high ticket thing, and they have no experience. I have been part of some of those groups, and obviously I left wanting a lot. So I'm just like, this isn't what I signed up for. The ethics of some of it also makes me uncomfortable. To be in Legacy Leaders, one, to have you as the captain of this ship with your experience, how open you are with us about the challenges that your business has gone through, and your businesses basically stay ahead of all of our other businesses. Like that alone is awesome. But then you're in there with other like-minded people who also are fed up with the fakeness and they just want real, authentic people trying to build a service to help their clients. And like, you can't find a better group of business owners who are supporting each other and feeding off of each other. Like, the amount of growth that happens within the group is crazy.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I mean, that's obviously what we pride ourselves in is creating this space for people that want to build real, right? Like they want to build real and they're here for the entire journey. And they remember that the purpose is being of service and it is running a good company, a great company that excels at what you do and cares about what the impact and the byproduct of that is. So thank you for sharing that. It has been so awesome to have you in the group, John. The book is amazing. Guys, go out and grab your copy now. All of John's links are going to be down in the show notes below. We'll also put a link if you want to learn more about Legacy Leaders as well. And John, it is always my honor and pleasure to have you in our world and a part of our circle. And I'm just amazed and impressed and just glad to get to be a part of your journey as you continue to reinvent and disrupt your industry. Incite, what did you say? Incite a revolution.
Incite a riot.
A riot. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you back here in a couple of days. John, thanks for being here. Thank you so much for listening to The Kelly Roach Show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me two solids. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review so other people can find the life-changing content that we share here. We're on our way to number one and we need your help getting there. Thanks so much for being a part of the community and for tuning into the show each and every week.